Hi, everybody. This is Joanne Verkylen, founder, co-CEO of Circle and Bloom. Welcome to week, I think we're on week 13 of our How Einstein Would Get Pregnant blog series. And this week, I am so thrilled to have the creator and author of the book called The Love Response, Dr. Eva Celeb. And so she's on the call with me. Thank you so much, Eva, for joining today.
Thank you for having me.
And what we're going to talk with Eva today about, and just by way of quick background, Eva, I think up until recently, Eva, correct me if I'm wrong, you were with the Benson Henry Institute for Mind Body Medicine at Mass General Hospital.
That's correct. I was actually their medical director for about 7 or 8 years, something of that nature.
Wow.
And I just recently decided that it was time to go solo. So I work for them, you know, a little bit part-time, and I still, you know, do work for them. I teach with them and cover for their doctors, that sort of thing. So I still have my affiliation.
That's great. And I know that, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, you recently wrote a book called The Love Response, and we have been talking with Eva on a variety of levels, but to partner together and potentially, you know, create some programs together. So that's something that's down the road. We're very excited to have this new relationship with Eva, who, you know, clearly shares the same mind, and we're learning a lot from her book and from her teachings. And so again, excited to have you. And just if we could start by talking about why you decided to write The Love Response, and maybe just a little bit about, you know, the theory behind the Love Response.
Well, it's a great question because most people don't know what The Love Response is. being a medical doctor, you know, my training obviously started in allopathic medicine, and I sort of branched over into studying Eastern philosophy and Eastern medicine. And through the work of the Mind-Body Medical Institute or Benson Institute, I started learning about the effects of stress on the physiology, on the body, on the mind, and how using different techniques like meditation, cognitive therapy, exercise, nutrition, that sort of thing, yoga, you could start reversing that physiology to create, you know, better health in mind and in body. And through my work, through both my, you know, personal suffering experiences and through working with patients, I discovered that the physiology that was the opposite of the physiology of stress was not just the physiology of meditation, but really the physiology of love, that through love you can actually get to the meditative state. Through love, you can get through a healing state. Through love, you can get through a positive state. So really, love was sort of at the core of all positive aspects of health and also of life. And when I looked into it, I saw that the research did actually back that up, saying that the physiology of love or the neurobiology of love elicited the relaxation response, or in other words, meditation. So my theory was correct. And so I took all of this together, again, from stories from my own life and stories from my patients and the techniques that I created that worked for both me and for my patients, and it went into a book. And that's what The Love Response is. It's about the physiology of love and how it can be the antidote to the physiology of fear and stress and all things negative to help you heal in many different levels.
It's so positive, and you know, so the book is just so well written and so chock full of wonderful examples that you can use. And the one thing that I got from it personally was just the positive nature and realizing that love is really an emotion and feeling that that doesn't happen to you. At least that's what I found. It's not something that you're waiting around, oh, you know, somebody's going to love me today, and that's the love response. And
the
way I experienced it was very much the opposite, which is it's a proactive feeling and one that you can elicit on your own. And it's
exactly.
An incredible feeling of peace and happiness. And it's really just that simple to feel
exactly.
Those feelings.
Well, I think you can think of it as a light switch. You
yes.
know, the switch is always there. It just happens to be turned off. So really all you need to do is turn it back on. But
right.
It's always there.
Right.
It's always there.
I think it's, you know, it's just, it can really be life-changing. And so when we talk about, and you talk a lot about the fear response, opposite, I think, of the love response, and the stress that really plays a role, and I know that you just spoke of it and really the detrimental effects, but what is it? And sort of tying it back to our focus, which is, of course, women's health and fertility, What do you think goes on in the body when it's in this fear response state?
Well, the first thing to understand is why I distinguish the stress response from the fear response. Because ultimately, stress is really a natural thing. Anytime your blood sugar drops or you feel cold or, you know, you need to get somewhere on time or pass an exam, that's just stress that's motivating you into action. So for the mind, it's important to know that that stress is manageable. Because what happens is that when the mind perceives that there's a stress present, it will elicit a stress response, which is an automatic and unconscious response, primarily driven by cortisol and adrenaline, which cause everything to get revved up. I liken it to being chased by a lion. If you can imagine, you're not going to sleep, you're not going to reproduce, you're not going to forage for food, the muscles will be tense, the inflammatory cycle will increase. And all of these things in the short term are positive because it motivates action and initiates change and creative thinking. But if the mind perceives that whatever it is that's going on, the challenge is not manageable and maybe never will be, the mind will go into fear, into helplessness and hopelessness, in which case that response does not get turned off. It's no longer positive, and that's why I call it the fear response. And so you can imagine, if you're being chased by a lion, you're never going to sleep. Your reproductive system will shut down. Your digestive system will shut down. The body will be more tense. You'll move into negative thinking and negative thoughts and social isolation. It just becomes a vicious cycle. So with regard to women's health, whether it's general fertility, you can imagine how it can affect that stress and that fear, especially the perception that life or something is unmanageable. And it could be, you know, just the notion of conceiving. If you're consistently unsuccessful, the mind, both conscious and unconscious, will go into the I'm helpless and hopeless, and the cycle will become vicious and persist, and that the stress response will never get turned off, which means any chances of perhaps conceiving are going to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And the percentages will go down even more because the stress, I'm not going to go and conceive if I'm being chased by a lion. And that's mm-hmm. what the mind is thinking. It doesn't distinguish between physical, psychological, and emotional. It just says stress is stress is stress.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing it distinguishes is whether it's manageable or unmanageable.
And what would you suggest, I mean, if you were to just take one of your love response exercises for women who are going through this, what would you recommend they think about and start to implement in their life to help reverse this effect?
Well, one of the things is, I mean, there's a lot of different things. I come up with a few things for people just in case in the moment they can't do one of the things. But the first thing is to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the hardest things that when I first started at the Institute, I was volunteering with the infertility program. And what I found to be most astonishing was how socially isolated many of these women mm-hmm. Were, just because, you know, nobody understands. Really, nobody does understand, you know, oh, just relax, or I can't understand why it's so hard for you to conceive, or people just didn't understand, or they would be around all the people, their people who their age with their children, and just feel terrible. And really have nobody to talk about the fact that their sex lives were going down a drain and that their marriages were going down a drain because they have on this scheduled routine of, you know, of having sex or whatever. And they really just, and one of the things that they really, I think, felt good about was the fact that these programs were done in groups and they had the ability to share and talk with other people. So I think one of the first things that I would recommend is what I call social love, which is the love given and received by others. Really allow yourself to be heard and to just be supported. It's not about other people giving you advice. It's just mm-hmm. about being heard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the bigger steps of the love response, is really knowing that you're supported, and that inherently will help that stress response be turned off some. The next part is the other part of what I call the love pyramid. So we have the bottom, which is the social love. And the next piece is self-love, which really, you know, doing the things that are self-care modalities. When we go into stress, we go into self-destruction rather than self-creation.
Mm-hmm.
So staying with passions. What is my passion? What is the things that I enjoy doing? Moving your mind away from the obsession of fertility and moving towards things that are creative, things that are positive. Think about the birthing process as a creative process, which you're longing for. So create something else. Do something out of love for self, you know, nurturing, any type of nurturing action. So if I loved myself, would I? And what would I do when I love myself? And being in that state of appreciation of self, that's the self-love piece, which will also help keep that stress response regulated. And of course, the last part is the spiritual level, which is connecting to something larger than yourself. Again, when you get really fearful about one thing or anything, your lens becomes very, very small. You become somewhat narcissistic. And it just becomes me, 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 and I'm alone, as opposed to I'm connected to something larger than me. And, you know, the world is generally good rather than bad. And that can be nature. That can be your spirituality, if you believe in God or something divine.
Right.
And simply be, again, some type of purpose or passion that you're connected to. Some volunteer work. All of those things, actually, by research, show that it will turn off the stress response, so help you feel better, help you get your mind off of the things that you have no control over. And it's what I call infrastructure. It's an infrastructure that will hold you and support you and ultimately help your body stay more balanced as well as your mind.
Right. No, that's great. So share with others, number one, in terms of the love pyramid, the social love piece, self-love, which I think we all can improve on, because I, mm-hmm. if I'm any good example, I'm always, you know, beating myself up. So reversing that and really staying with your, I love how you say, find your passion, allow yourself to stay with those elements that make you happy. And then the spiritual part as well, which, as you said, it doesn't have to be religious in nature. It could be something that you appreciate from a natural perspective or mm-hmm. all the way to, real understanding that there's a universal power and that there's a God. I think that those are great recommendations, because it kind of really gives you the structure. I know that the sharing with others was something that I did not do when I was going through my secondary infertility issues with PCOS, and I really, really wish I had on a variety of levels. I think it takes a level of courage for women, as you said, that dealing with infertility can be very socially isolating, and because of that, you really need to even more so be able to feel like you can express your feelings in a safe way and mm-hmm. really allow yourself to be heard, which I think I think is great. So that's great. I really appreciate all of these elements, because I do think that it can help many women. I do highly recommend the book, because it's not just about fertility, because I do think that, you know, with respect to the lives that we're leading in kind of modern society, stress is so prevalent and, you know, just very difficult to deal with. So just if we can end the Q&A, Eva, with just an example, if you have one off the top of your head of either your own personal story or, somebody that you dealt with that, you know, was able to implement this love response concept and really change their life for the better.
Well, absolutely. I mean, actually, one of the stories I'd want to share with you is, it's actually a pregnancy story. Her baby's, I think, a year or something now. But she was, I think, 42, and she was so older, first pregnancy, was actually unexpected, but, had a lot of anxiety around it. But she finally, said, yes, this is a pregnancy I'm starting to get excited about, and then she miscarried, and it was devastating. And so we had been working together already, but so after the miscarriage, we really started working on the self-love piece. What we did was she just had so much anger and upsetness and shame around having that baby wanted to be pregnant to begin with, maybe it was her fault. And so we did a lot of work on self-love and bringing in light and love into the body, especially into the womb, as if she was sort of nurturing her own baby within herself, like herself as the baby. Mm. We also did a lot of sort of transcending and connecting to a divine world, again, that was forgiving rather than punishing. And a lot of self-care, which is the sleep and the continued exercise and continued meditation. And I would say probably within 6 months, she was able to conceive and was able to hold the pregnancy. And as we all know, the older you are, the harder it is to maintain a healthy pregnancy.
Right.
And again, she's got a healthy 1-plus-year-old now.
Wow.
It was a really beautiful example of, someone who had really never been pregnant before before the age of 42. And so the chances of, you know, people are aware, but I mean, obviously you've heard your doctors tell you that about the non-viable eggs as you get older. I just, you know, hate that, but that's what we're told. And she was able to have everything be not only viable, but be successful. And really hurt. She just maintained a really loving self-care practice all the way through. A divine practice, a practice where she always, you know, reached out. And if she needed something, she would call me or a friend. So she really sort of kept up her infrastructure all the way through and was able to maintain a viable and beautiful pregnancy and a beautiful, now beautiful
that's
baby girl.
What a, you know, because that,
that's... Well, she named Joy, by the way.
Oh, you know, and it's beautiful on a couple levels. Obviously, one that, you know, ended in a successful pregnancy. But I think fundamentally, this woman has changed. Her life will be different for the rest of her life because of what you, you know, what you helped her with. And so not only was she able to realize her dream of pregnancy, but, and that's what happened to me, you know, you just, and I think a lot of women should kind of really hear the message. It's the silver lining, which is that you come through this a different person. And I think fundamentally more aware of yourself, more aware of your body, and just, you know, a stronger foundation for you to be a mother, as well as to be a happy, you know, contented individual. So I think that that's a beautiful, beautiful example.
Exactly. And I mean, I think that one of the hardest things about hardship is it's hard to see through it, having used the word hard three times. But it's very difficult to see through it. And, you know, when you do get through it, I think as we all know, It can either kill you or it can make you stronger. And in the end, that's your choice. You can let it bring you down or you can let it teach you and help you grow and help you connect to something much larger than you to really be able to transcend that.
That's
you
great.
Know, the hurt, hardship. And so, that's really what it is for.
Eva, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, I was just going to quickly read off your website, and if you wanted to leave your email, I think you have your email address on your website as well. But
that's right.
Your website is theloveresponse.com, correct?
That's correct. And the email is just Dr. Eva at
theloveresponse.com. Dr. Eva at theloveresponse.com. And you have lots of relaxation meditation recordings on your website that you offer as well. And so I you know, recommend people taking a look at that. And I know that you do some consultations as well. So that email, if you want to reach out to Eva personally, you know, she welcomes that contact. So with that, thank you so much, Eva. Is
thank
there anything
you.
Else? Anything else?
I'm looking forward to more. That's all.
Yes, that would be great. You know, I was just thinking that we're just scratching the surface. I mean, this is a great talk to introduce your book, but I think I would love to spend more time as to, you know, your research and understanding on the mind-body connection and how we can help people, you know, really understand that more fundamentally. So,
exactly.
So maybe in a few months we'll grab you again and have you back.
Sounds good to me.
So, okay.
Thank you.